Brave Man maneuvered his stiff leg through the lodge flap. He ducked inside and hobbled to the sleeping robes. Pale Raven followed and stood before him, arms crossed, a knowing look on her face.
So, you are now the Soul Flyer. What comes next?
Brave Man stared at the smoke hole, where blue sky grew brighter.
The wolf people. Flying Hawk is already eager to prove himself the greatest warrior among the Broken Stones. It will take 3 days to prepare, and then we'll go.
I'm going with you.
Everyone is going. The hunting's good up there. Warriors fight better when they know their families are close. Courage flows stronger in a man's veins when losing could mean that his woman will be taken by an enemy warrior, or his children killed.
You are better than I had imagined you would be. I like that. I like you.
Her hips swayed as she moved. The dress clung tightly to the curves of her body.
It will take time before they have sun feathers ready. Let's see how much you've taught me, Pale Raven.
With a satisfied smile, she pulled the soft dress over her head. He slipped out of his shirt as her swift fingers undid his leggings. The light filtering through the smoke hole seemed to caress the lines of her body as she settled next to him on the soft robes.
Continue at this rate, and you'll plant a child in me.
Would that bother you?
She shifted, her hand tracing the muscles of his chest. A bolt of desire shot through him.
Not at all. You know what that will mean to the people. They'll consider me your wife.
His eyes lifted, glowing darkly.
I will have white ash.
Go ahead. I don't care, Brave Man. You can have her. Plant all the children you'd like in her. But among the people, I'll still be your wife. Unless you'd like to stop this.
From half-lidded eyes, she watched him.
Or can you?
No.
He rolled on top of her and looked down into her eyes. She undulated beneath him, teasing his tense body.
And you? Could you stop?
She ran her hands down his back, tracing his spine until she could grip his buttocks.
No. You are all I ever wanted in a man. I'll do everything I can to keep you.
Even kill?
She spread her legs, reaching down to guide him.
Such a tragedy to lose sun feathers that way.
And not a mark on him. Oh, you and I will do very well together, Pale Raven. Very well.
Blue Wind used the sleeve of his hunting coat to wipe his broad-boned face.
Now what do we do?
Snail Shell grimaced.
We die. I never thought I'd see so many warriors in one place.
Windrunner rubbed his hot face and sagged down in the sagebrush. He stared up at the night sky, where the stars twinkled brightly. They hid in the valley bottom, deep in the sage that grew as tall as a man's chest. On either side, the slopes rose steeply to sandstone-capped ridgetops. Before them lay a small spring Snail Shell had known about. The problem was that others had known about it, too. A large party of Hollow Flute warriors camped at the spring, squarely on the shortest route south to the Black Point camp, and time was running out.
I'd better make the right decision, or a lot of people will end up dead.
This camp had to be the Hollow Flute's vanguard, perhaps the first of 10 tens of warriors heading south. These warriors would sweep the country and ensure the safety of their women, children, and elders, who traveled a day's journey behind. The warriors that Windrunner and his friends outwitted earlier set out as scouts for one of the 3 villages they'd discovered during the day.
How many more did we miss?
The whole country to the north seemed to be crawling with women and children leading pack dogs and bearing their belongings south. Windrunner's expression turned grim. Everything he'd learned this day struck a painful chord in his soul. He'd seen such a movement of people before, lived it, in fact, when the White Clay fled from the Bug River, and later from the Fat Beaver River. The Hollow Flute reminded him of fugitives.
How did we ever come so far north without being discovered?
How come we're still alive?
Thunderbird's been playing games with us, old friend. And maybe he still plays with us. Because we're walking barefoot through a hollow flute snake's den.
Windrunner chewed the inside of his cheeks. No more than a half day's walk to the south, Black Moon's band camped on the river. Stonefist and Fire Rabbit had moved smaller camps out to the west in order to hunt along the river bottoms. Spread out like that, the Black Point would have no chance against the wave of Hollow Flute rolling south like a herd of buffalo.
What's happening? Where did they all come from? How can the Black Point defeat so many?
We can't. No more than the White Clay could stand against the Black Point.
I'm starting to believe. But what choice is there? We have to fight to hold our land.
Windrunner's expression soured. The cooking fires burned brighter in the Hollow Flute camp, as if to mock them.
There are other lands.
Where? In the Grey Deer Basin where the wolf people hunted you like a lame rabbit?
South of there, where the White Clay fled. All we have to do is get to the Sideways Mountains and cross them. Then we can carve out our own territory, drive out the Earth people, let the Hollow Flute try to hold the Fat Beaver hunting grounds against the Snowbird and Wasp clans.
Looks like the Hollow Flute people have already been beaten up. I've been thinking about the bands we saw moving south today. They looked half-starved. Some of the men walking with the women appeared to be wounded.
Blue Wind motioned toward the camp.
Meanwhile, how are we going to get around this? Backtrack? Maybe cut around to the west and cross those badlands up by the high cliffs.
We'll lose 2 days that way. I say we go east, around this ridge and south where the sandstone dips down toward the river. It'll be a long run, but we might make it in time to warn at least one of the camps.
No.
Windrunner shook his head, remembering that day on the Fat Beaver.
I can't let that happen again. I just can't.
He watched two warriors walk out of the camp and into the sagebrush to relieve themselves. They were still joking as they made their way back to camp and squatted by a fire.
I think I'm getting an idea. You know, it just might work. Impossible. But then,
why do I hate the thought of Windrunner getting an idea?
Because you know it's going to be something so silly and dangerous, it'll work.
Snailshell turned to Windrunner.
What are you thinking?
The stars had drifted halfway across the sky when Windrunner, Blue Wind, and Snailshell walked boldly into the middle of the Hollow Flute camp. Warriors didn't travel with dogs. Had they, this stunt wouldn't have lasted long enough for a winded man to take three short breaths. Though they now stood in the midst of the Hollow Flute camp, it took Windrunner more than a little persuasion to get his comrades to join him.
Relax. Think of it like this. It's our land, right? Who has more right to walk around on it than we do?
Tens of Hollow Flute warriors and all their darts, that's who.
Why didn't I let them talk me out of it?
Windrunner's blood tingled as it shot through his veins. His mouth had gone fear dry, and his skin crawled with fright.
Someone will look up and recognize us. Any second now, there will be a warning shout, and we're dead men.
He nerved himself and picked his way around the glowing fire hearths, sticking to the darkness. Black lumps of robe-wrapped warriors lay feet first to the fires. Windrunner stopped short as the sleeping warrior shifted to get comfortable. In the process, the Hollow Flute warrior exposed his hand to the light of the smoldering fire. Windrunner hesitated, aware of the sudden tension in Blue Wind, who'd stopped behind him. He took a step toward the sleeping warrior and bent down to study the man's hand. The last joint of the little finger had been severed. An offering to power and the promise to fulfill a vow, even at the price of death.
This is never going to work. No one can just walk through the middle of a war camp this size. This time you've killed yourself, and Snailshell and Blue Wind too.
He picked his way carefully, hearing Blue Wind's nervous steps behind him. Snailshell could have been tiptoeing around sage hen eggs for all the noise he made. As he proceeded, Windrunner counted fires. 2 tens and 2 by the time they reached the far side of the camp. He noted the warriors, pointing at their hands as he and his companions passed. Here and there in the faint light of the fires, they could see the stub of a shortened little finger. What horrible thing happened in the north? They slipped past the last fire.
Who is it?
Break a leg.
Windrunner took the warrior's name he'd heard earlier.
What are you doing? It's the middle of the night.
Windrunner's thoughts deserted him in the hysteria of fear. Nothing came to him.
You've got to say something or we're all dead.
Actually, we're three Blackpoint warriors sneaking through the camp. What do you think we're doing in the middle of the night? Now, were you going to let us pass, or do you want us to shit right here in the trail?
I've got to piss like a bull buffalo in rut. Maybe we ought to spray around in the darkness and see if we get his robe.
Go on, and get far enough away from camp so I don't have to smell it all night.
Windrunner barely contained fear-silly laughter as he hurried into the safety of the sagebrush, Blue Wind and Snail Shell hard on his heels.
I don't believe you did that.
I almost crapped myself inside out when you told him we were Blackpoint. What were you trying to do, kill us?
We got lucky. There are so many of them, they don't know who's here. I just told them the first thing that came to mind. Now come on, we have to make tracks before he starts to wonder why we don't come back.
For that many to be here, something terrible's happened.
And our people in the Fat Beaver Valley are as alert as hibernating bears, and as easy to kill. Let's hurry.
Bad Belly rubbed his eyes and blinked. The vision had come upon him as he worked. He'd been absently running the bow drill to bore another hole in one of the black triangular stone teeth, and the next thing he knew, his head was full of strange sights. He'd let the drill fall to one side and sat back to gaze wearily around Singing Stone's shelter, shaking his head slowly, painfully. White Ash came to crouch beside him.
What is it?
A vision. All of the forests were cut down by people. They slid the logs down the mountains and floated them down the rivers to make huge... Well, I guess you'd call them villages. Tens of tens of tens of people lived there. More than you could count in days. All the mountains had gone silent. Where the trees had been, there were only stumps. The rains washed the dirt away from the rocks. You couldn't hear a bird song anywhere. Then warriors came from the west with terrible war clubs that shone in the sun like mica. They fell on each other and killed one another until there were more dead than all the buffalo that have ever run off all the cliffs in the world. The bodies lay stacked around and only the flies and buzzards feasted.
But what does it mean?
I don't know. But the lame warrior's face hung in the clouds above the dead mountains. He laughed. And his laughter shook the world.
Worn and staggering, Windrunner and his two friends reached Black Moon's camp as dawn began to break on the eastern horizon. The cottonwoods, leafing out in spring green, stretched in a friendly canopy overhead. The pointed tops of the sleeping lodges looked peaceful in the half-light among the trees. Here and there, a spiral of blue rose from a smoke hole.
I think my legs are half a hand shorter.
I can't figure out why we're still alive. We've seen more Hollow Flute than I would have believed. Did we really walk through that camp? Or was I dreaming?
It looked easier than trying to sneak around all their lookouts.
A tingle of pride still burned within Windrunner. He blinked tired eyes at the peaceful camp, thankful to have found it. Tired, so wretchedly tired, he couldn't help but grin.
Oh, we made it. We lived. We brought the warning.
He stopped before the clan leader's lodge.
Black Moon, Windrunner, Snail Shell, and Blue Wind must see you.
Black Moon's dog sniffed at their worn moccasins. Within moments, the old man ducked through the lodge flap, a buffalo hide around his shoulders. He nodded, digging sleep from his eyes with a knuckle. He wore only leggings and a breech clout. The skin of his protruding belly looked pale in the morning light, and the Black Moon circle tattooed on his forehead faded against the walnut hues of his face.
You're back early.
The old leader squinted as he assessed the fatigue in their red-rimmed eyes and haggard expressions. Windrunner gestured back toward the bluffs that rose above the river.
The entire north is crawling with Hollow Flute warriors. No more than a half day's walk from here, by the Willow Spring. A camp of warriors is busy rolling up its sleeping robes as we speak. Smaller bands of about 10 warriors each are searching the country, probably trying to locate us.
Black Moon's face tightened as he looked to the north.
How many would you guess in all?
Maybe two warriors for each one of ours, maybe three.
Tell him the rest.
Windrunner met the Blackpoint leader's inquiring stare.
The whole clan is moving. Behind the warriors come several large camps of Hollowflute. Men, women, and children. The dogs are packing all they can carry. The people look like they're running, desperate.
And that's not all. Windrunner walked us right through the middle of the warriors' advance camp last night. Many had joints cut off their fingers.
Black Moon fingered his chin as he thought.
Joints cut off? They've made sacrifices to power. They won't want to turn back.
Snail Shell glanced anxiously at the north.
We saw several bands. They looked starved, and the few men with the women and children seemed to be wounded, as if they'd fought a big battle and lost.
Black Moon paused, lost in thought. He glanced up at Windrunner.
What do you think is happening?
I think that either the Wasp or the Snowbird clan is behind them. The people we saw looked hungry, desperate. Something happened last winter. Something terrible.
Black Moon squinted at the bluffs.
Winter was harder than any I remember in a long time. And what do you suggest we do about these Hollowflute?
Pack the camp now. Get the people across the Fat Beaver River. Send runners to the other Blackpoint camps. 3 days' march to the south, the Stinking River runs out of the Red Rock Mountains. You'll know the place by its stinking hot spring. We can meet there and hold a council to decide what to do.
You don't think we can fight them off?
Windrunner shot a glance at his two companions, seeing the answer in their eyes.
I think so many warriors would die that we'd end up like the White Clay.
We are Blackpoint. No one is...
With all respect, we are all Blackpoint. Courage is not the issue here. A wolverine has plenty of courage, but not even a wolverine can drive off a nest of hornets.
We've talked about it, Black Moon. Windrunner makes sense. We've seen the Hollowflute coming. Maybe we can drive them back. But we can't do it today. And today's all we've got.
Black Moon's spirit sagged. He looked around at the waking camp.
A half day's walk to the north? And you came through the middle of their war camp.
Windrunner said the best way to make it here in time was to walk right through their camp. I thought we were dead, but it worked out just like he said. Only one man looked up and asked us what we were doing. Windrunner told him that we were Blackpoint warriors come to scout the camp, and the foolish Hollowflute didn't believe him.
And not only that, Windrunner told him that if he didn't want us shitting in his robes, maybe he'd better let us out of camp. Oh, it was dark, very black, and the guard just told us to go on.
Just told you to walk out?
There were so many warriors, I knew he didn't know each one. Why else would three warriors walk out of camp in the middle of the night?
The old clan leader weighed the truth in their words and shook his head.
Perhaps you have come to lead us, Windrunner. I remember your wise words on the day you fought one man. All right. I hear your counsel. I see the respect in the eyes of these warriors who accompany you, and I respect them. Everyone! Get up! We must move camp! The Hollowflute are coming, and they have many, many warriors! I need runners to go warn the other camps! Hurry! Hurry, we don't have much time!
Windrunner shifted on trembling legs. A sense of rightness filled his soul. Perhaps now the ghosts of the White Clay would rest easier. He glanced behind him to where the hills hid the coming flood of Hollowflute.
We've only bought a little time.
Snail Shell stood beside him, uneasy eyes on the horizon.
You think we should go south of the sideways mountains you talk of?
I think that's the only way.
And what if the Earth people try to fight us?
I think, from everything I've heard, that we can beat the Earth people, chase them off. They live in holes in the ground. Their old women run the camps. What we need, we'll take.
And if they try to stop us?
Aspen appeared beside him.
Let them.
I'm going. That's all there is to it.
White Ash straightened from stuffing her things into a pack. She crossed her arms and leveled her defiant gaze on Bad Belly. He tugged nervously at his hide coat. She stood dressed in finely worked hides the Dreamer had given her. He'd obtained them from the Wolf People. She wore a bighorn sheepskin coat, a pair of pants, and a calfskin shirt that had been decorated with elk ivories, bear teeth, and colorful quillwork. The old man's generosity even extended to the pack White Ash now proceeded to fill. Premonition ate at Bad Belly. He stared out at the marvelous view offered by Singing Stone's shelter as he marshaled his arguments. The old dreamer sat on his sandstone boulder, face blank as a piece of wood.
You didn't have the vision that I did. Terrible things are going to happen up there, and
I'm going.
But the dream, terrible.
Especially the dream. Bad Belly, you need me. What are you going to do? Do you have any kind of plan worked out?
Well,
Have you given any thought at all to this?
I just know that I have to...
That's what I thought.
Bad Belly lifted his good arm and let it drop. Then he kicked at the dirt.
There are wolf people up there. You don't want to go, do you? In your heart? After what I told you I dreamed?
White Ash closed her eyes and shook her head.
No.
Then what is this foolishness? Why tempt?
Because I have to.
She stepped close.
Because I can't let you do it by yourself. Because if anything happened, I'd want to die. I'd never know if my cowardice caused your death.
All right. It may be a mistake, but I guess I ought to be used to making mistakes by now.
He reached over to rub her hair between his fingers.
Besides, I think I want you with me.
Then let's go.
From where it lay beside the hearth, he took the partially completed necklace of stonefish teeth and placed it in the pouch that hung around his neck. He stared out at the distance one last time, letting the feel of the land soothe his worried soul. Then perplexed lines etched his forehead.
Which way do we go? I mean, I know we're going up into the Grass Meadow Mountains, but which trails do we take? How do we keep from getting lost?
See, that's why you need me.
Go 3 days' walk to the east along the ridge tops. Where the bad water heads north into the hills, follow it. At the headwaters, take the ridge to the east. The walking should be good there. It should take you all the way up to the timber. When you reach the timber, you'll find the buffalo trail. Follow that north into the Grass Meadow Mountains.
How do I know where the wolf bundle is? Do I just ask the wolf people?
That doesn't sound very smart.
Singing Stones looked back and forth between them.
If you are worthy, you need not worry. Power won't let you stumble around for too long. Not if the bundle is calling you. Something will happen to show you the way.
Bad Belly listened intently.
Am I worthy?
He looked down at himself, taking stock. What he saw didn't inspire confidence.
What happens after we get the wolf bundle?
White Ash settled her pack on her shoulders.
Have you thought about that?
Bad Belly stared blankly at her.
Well, not exactly.
White Ash turned to the dreamer.
Thank you for letting us stay with you. Can we come back here? Would you want us?
You'll be back. If you live.
If we live.
A haunted look hid just behind White Ash's determined expression.
Power never gives you any promises. I will wait for you. I have a lot to teach you. The bundle has a lot to teach you. It will not be easy.
If we live.
White Ash helped Bad Belly loop the pack over his shoulder.
Thank you for letting us stay with you. We'll be back.
The dreamer lifted his hand and smiled.
Good luck, man of the people. If power wills, I will see you again. If not, I will join you in the one.
Bad Belly nodded and waved farewell. A curious mixture of worry and happiness struggled in his chest. The terrible dream haunted him, bits and pieces replaying in his memory.
So, it's you and me in trouble again.
Bad Belly let the sunshine warm him as he walked. How could anyone think of death and ruin on this delightfully warm day? But all he had to do was close his eyes and he could see the evil dreamer's face.
Who do you think the lame warrior in the dream is?
White Ash didn't answer for a moment.
I don't know. I've known several lame men during my life, but all of them are dead now. From what you've told me about your dreams, I don't want to meet him.
I don't either.
We don't sound like the heroes in the winter stories, do we?
Ahead of them, trouble bounded up the trail that skirted the sandstone wall and led to the ridgetop.
You know, I still can't quite convince myself that Power didn't make some silly mistake. Someone like Warmfire should be going after the Wolf Bundle, or maybe your Windrunner. You'd think Power would pick a strong, brave young warrior, not Badbelly.
The trail bent sharply, following a narrow crack in the sandstone wall that led out on top. Deer passed here, and a person could make his way easily. As they stepped out of the defile, Badbelly stopped to take one last look at the Star Wheel. A deep frown lined White Ash's face.
I don't know why we were chosen instead of some warrior. I've been trying to understand, to see the sense of it, but I can't. Power has changed my life from the beginning. Look at me. I should be at Three Forks, taking my place in the decisions that affect the camp, learning my duties from Greenfire and Alclover. I'd have a husband by now, and maybe a child or two, with another swelling my belly. I should have been worrying about the spirits and about which root grounds should be collected this year. But here I am, setting out to help you steal the Wolf People's most sacred bundle, so I can dream a new way for the Sun People. It's all lunacy.
Badbelly rehitched his pack so he could take her hand.
It's a long way. Let's go. Maybe we can find the bundle and sneak it away before anyone notices.
And if they notice? If they come after us?
Then Power will see just what a coward I really am.
At the memory of the dream, his heart sank in his chest, and the stonefish's tooth necklace seemed to weigh at his neck. After all of Left Hand's consideration and the honor of the gift he'd given, stealing the Wolf Bundle would be a dirty way to repay him. Windrunner sat down in the place Black Moon indicated. He settled himself cross-legged and tried to compose his thoughts. The fact that Black Moon had placed him so near the head of the council circle meant that the clan leader would be asking for his counsel. Men and women arrived in ones and twos to seat themselves in the shade of the cottonwood. The heavy robes had been left in the lodges, and the gaily decorated clothing reserved for warmer days had appeared. This would be a good day for such dress. The wind blew pleasantly down from the Red Rock Mountains. For this important council, people wore their best. Bone bead chokers, eagle bone breastplates, oyster and olivella shells traded from the coast, bright feathers and sleek furs. Many had painted the leather of their deer and antelope hide dresses, the favorite colors being yellow and especially the deep purple obtained from bitterbrush. In contrast to the finery they wore, the faces of the people betrayed their concern and, in some cases, actual fear.
Nor can I blame them. One wrong step will kill us all.
Windrunner pursed his lips and frowned up at the sky. Overhead, the cottonwoods were fuzzy with the first green of spring leaves. The stinking river flowed a dart's cast to the north of the council circle that had been set up in the open grassy spot before Black Moon's lodge. The Black Point had camped slightly downstream from the noxious hot springs that gave the river its name. Even on a day as warm as this, the steam could be seen where the river exited the canyon to the west.
Aspen watches you, Windrunner. Windrunner, did you hear me?
No, I was just thinking. What did you say?
I said Aspen watches you. She ignores the rest and watches you.
Why? What did I do?
Snail Shell smacked himself in the forehead with the palm of his hand.
You've got all the cunning of a rock. She's interested in you. She's been a widow for months now and hasn't lifted a finger to any of the outstanding warriors, like the one sitting next to you. You show up and she's making fawn eyes. What happens? You could have the most beautiful woman in the clan, and you don't care.
Windrunner glanced across at Aspen. She'd been inspecting him with that veiled scrutiny he'd become used to. He couldn't deny her beauty.
I have another one to find. Best of luck with Aspen.
Your White Ash?
My White Ash.
My. At the mention of her, Windrunner's memory stirred. He could see her laughing while that teasing twinkle lit her flashing eyes. Her thick black hair caught the sunlight with a bluish sheen. She walked in his daydreams, the leather of her dress shifting with each move of her sleek body.
I love you.
Yes, I'll marry you.
The words echoed in his ears as if they'd just been uttered.
I'll come for you before the first snow flies.
She strolled toward him with a sultry smile on her full lips, a dare in her lowered eyes. Her hips swayed with each balanced step. Her arms swung lissomely while her lips parted and an excitement grew in her eyes. A sharp elbow to the ribs punctured his reverie.
You want to listen to any of this?
Windrunner shook his head to clear his thoughts as the clan leader spoke. Hot Fat sat cross-legged beside Black Moon, fingers laced in his lap, gaze on the trampled grass, listening intently. On the other side of Black Moon sat one man, and just behind his right shoulder crouched Stonefist. Both men were travel-worn, their clothing spattered with mud and mottled by dust. Windrunner could see a wary fatigue in their hard eyes. They looked like dangerous men who had more than their share of worry. One man and Stonefist, when did they arrive? Windrunner heard that they would be out scouting the Hollow Flute for at least 10 days. But then all it took was a glance to tell they'd already found something.
And we're not going to like it.
You've got a bad case of woman poisoning. She must be some woman.
Windrunner glowered reprovingly at his friend and turned his attention to Black Moon.
I would hear him tell everything he and Stonefist learned.
One man took a moment to scan the circle of faces. One by one, he met the eyes of old friends, nodding now and then. Finally, his gaze met Windrunner's, and the war leader nodded, appreciation in his eyes.
Everything Windrunner, Snail Shell, and Blue Wind told us is true. Stonefist and I kept to the uplands, where we could travel without being observed. At night, we moved down toward their camps to see what we could overhear or learn. The entire Hollow Flute has come to the Fat Beaver Valley.
One man gestured with sun-blackened hands.
We waited in the dark and captured one of their women. We dragged her far enough from the camp to be safe and talked to her. She told us this. The winter north of the dangerous river was terrible. The Chinook winds never came. The snow fell and drifted across the land, and then more snow fell. It never stopped. Hollow Flute warriors found places where the buffalo had been buried by drifts, and others had climbed on their backs, only to be buried too. The plains to the north stink from rotting winter kill. The big herds are gone. Only scattered animals can be found, and they have little meat on their bones. But the Hollow Flute don't just flee from the die-off. Farther north, the winter was worse. Along the Bug River, the Wasp and the Snowbird clans faced starvation. Moose and caribou died, some frozen to death on their feet. The northern herds of buffalo may all be dead. In such dire straits, the Snowbird and Wasp met and had a council. They decided that together they could push the Hollow Flute out of their hunting grounds and save their own starving children. They had taken the Hollow Flute lands around the dangerous river. They believed there would be better hunting there this fall.
Black Moon shook his head in disbelief.
All of the clans are coming south?
This is what the captive woman told us. The Wasp and Snowbird warriors fell on the Hollow Flute as the melt began. Behind them come the Green Stone clan, moving out of the forest belt and into the Bug River hunting grounds as the others leave. When the Green Stones arrive there, they will find what others have already left, and will probably follow them south, killing what they can, eating roots and berries in the meantime. Summer is a good time. People don't starve. Fish can be trapped in the rivers. Birds and small game can be caught. But the clans will see no big game herds, and everyone's mind will be on the coming winter. The only way left is south. We asked the woman if the Hollow Flute would stay in the Fat Beaver Valley and try to hold off the combined clans. She said they would remain only as long as it took them to regain their strength, or until the other clans appeared and began to raid them. The Hollow Flute are tired of fighting. They have sung too many of their people to Thunderbird. Then they saw the green fire in the sky and took it as a sign to move even farther south. The traders have told them that the winters are not so harsh to the south. The deep cold isn't as bad. People don't starve if the Chinook winds don't come. The woman told us the Hollow Flute are desperate, that they won't watch their families starve again. Stonefist and I heard those words. We also heard the desperation beneath the words. We heard the woman's soul speaking to us. I say this, my people. The Hollow Flute will not be turned back. And even if they could be, behind them come the united clans of the Snowbird and the Wasp. And behind them, the Greenstone.
One man, you are our greatest warrior. You've always spoken with prudence and honesty. We all respect your counsel. What do you suggest we do?
Once, I would have said that the Black Point could drive them back. I would have been a foolish young man who had never seen the look in the eyes of the Hollow Flute. That would have been the advice of a man who had never seen a clan bled dry of its warriors, the way Windrunner will tell you the White Clay have been. Where are the White Clay now? According to Windrunner's report, they've been nearly destroyed, reduced to only one camp, harried by the Wolf People, pushed south all the way to the Sideways Mountains, mountains we haven't even seen yet.
And this woman you captured?
Stone Fist shifted in his place behind one man.
We took her with us until we crossed the Fat Beaver River. During that time, she told us how she had wintered on the dangerous river. When she spoke, it touched our hearts. Her mother and father, her two children, her only children, froze to death. We let her go and wished her well.
Fire Rabbit, the young warrior who had fought so bravely in the ambush of the Broken Stones, stood and waited for Black Moon to recognize him.
If we are going to hold the Fat Beaver hunting grounds, we will need all of our courage. I didn't approve of coming here in the first place. Now I concede that it might not have been a mistake. Had the Hollow Flute fallen upon us while we were scattered, they would have driven us from the Fat Beaver and killed many of our warriors. I think that with our combined strength, we can drive the Hollow Flute back. They're weakened. A bold raid now could break them the way we broke the White Clay 3 years ago on that very river. If we can scatter them, send them fleeing north, perhaps their stories will make the Snowbird and Wasp think twice before they try us.
Fire Rabbit seated himself.
Under other circumstances, I would agree with my friend Fire Rabbit. This time I cannot.
Then what do we do? Sit here and talk and watch our land disappear?
Fire Rabbit looked around, searching the faces of the people. He reached out as if to embrace them and turned his head up to the lazy sky and the rustling cottonwoods.
Do we give this up?
Black Moon's wife, Makes Room, stood and looked around. Her 50 winters could be read in her lined face. She wore a smoke-tanned elk-hide dress, resplendent with elk ivories that gleamed white in the sun. A pattern of olivella shells decorated the neckline.
I hear these words and my heart turns cold. We are faced with a problem none of us ever expected. The clans have always fought among themselves, but it was done to keep our blood strong.
She squinted around the circle, turning on her stiff ankles.
Things have changed in the last couple of years. We broke the White Clay. When we did it, we knew we had to have new hunting grounds. At the time, I remember, our warriors whooped and danced to celebrate their strength. At the time, I sang the praises of the Black Point too, but my heart was troubled. In all the legends of the people, clans never suffered the fate the White Clay did. Some clans merged, others split off and made new clans, the way the Black Point broke away from the Wasp in the times before my grandfather lived. But it troubled me that we ravaged the White Clay. My mother was White Clay. Now I hear the stories told by Windrunner of the White Clay being chased and raided by the Wolf People. In the old days, no clan of the Sun People feared others. When we wanted the land from the dangerous river south to the Fat Beaver, we chased those White Bird People off the land. Chased them clear off to the east, across the short grass plains. Maybe they told the Wolf People to fight us. They were related once, according to their legends. We can probably chase the Wolf People away, too. Now, something is happening. We've always moved south. We've changed from hunting seals and muskox to caribou to buffalo. We've come so far south that we no longer see caribou, and moose are only found north of here. Now, We hunt elk and antelope when buffalo are scarce. I know where we came from, but we did it through generations. Today, I hear that even the Greenstone are moving south. Not just changing camps, but maybe moving south for good. Everything has changed. Myself, I've lived through a lot of raiding, but I've never seen or heard of entire clans forced over long distances. I'm getting to be an old woman. I don't want to have to run like a winter-starved coyote the way the White Clay did. As I see it, we have three choices. Stay and try to fight all the clans. Go east and try to drive the Broken Stones out of their country. Or travel south and cross these sideways mountains. Of all the choices, I think south makes the most sense. I say this because that's the way we've always gone.
Mix Room returned to her place and sat. Black Moon turned to Windrunner.
What about the south?
Windrunner stood, staring around the council. People watched him with curiosity and respect. The stories had circulated about his challenge to one man, about the trap he'd laid for the Broken Stones, and his daring walk through the middle of a Hollow Flute war camp.
South, beyond those ridges, lie the Sideways Mountains. Beyond them is the basin the traders have told us about, where the Earth people live. My own advice is that we go there. My father's brother captured a...
He smiled wistfully, and no one seemed to mind the slip.
Let me start again. When I lived among the White Clay, Sage Ghost stole a girl from the Earth people. She told me how the Earth people live. They have more than enough to eat, but they live differently than we do. I tell you that we can move south into that territory and make a place for ourselves. We have a choice to make. It's a painful choice, and one that perhaps only I can speak of since I've lived it. We are all Sun people. When we make war on the other clans, we make war on our own people. Makes Room spoke with power when she said that what happened to the White Clay left her uneasy. If we go south, we'll have to do things differently. I've been told that the game doesn't travel in big herds. I've heard that most of the people down there eat foods made from plants. We know that. We've traded for those things. Myself, I don't like the idea of changing the way we live. At the same time, I can remember when I could look out and see tens of White Clay lodges and see so many faces I didn't know them all. If we fight the Hollow Flute and destroy them, and fight the combined clans of the Snowbird and Wasp and drive them back north, how many faces will be missing from this circle? Look around you. When I left the White Clay, there were 5 tens of people left. They're
not anymore!
Windrunner craned his neck, staring. A lone man walked out from among the lodges, followed by a sniffing pack of dogs. Windrunner knew that walk, recognized the muscular shoulders that swayed with each step.
Sage Ghost?
People moved out of Sage Ghost's way as he stepped into the circle. Bearing darts and Otlatl in one hand, Sage Ghost walked up to Windrunner. He stopped, eyes watering, lips quivering. Then he reached out, and Windrunner stepped into his embrace, hugging him tightly to his breast.
What are you doing here?
Windrunner held his uncle at arm's length to study him. Sage Ghost's clothing was a ripped and tattered mass of worn leather. He'd lost weight, become a gaunt and ragged shadow of the man he'd once been. But a hard pride glittered behind those enduring brown eyes. Sage Ghost's face worked painfully.
I didn't have anywhere else to go. The White Clay are gone.
Gone? What do you mean, gone?
Dead. Killed. Wiped out by the wolf people.
He made the hand sign for no more. The black point shifted and strained to hear better. Black Moon stepped forward and pinned Sage Ghost with a wary look.
You come bearing weapons.
It's good to see you again, Black Moon. After the black point attacked us on the Fat Beaver, I never thought I'd live to hear myself say that. But, yes... I have come carrying weapons. I didn't know if my nephew was still alive.
Sage Ghost dropped his Otlatl and darts and looked up at the Black Point leader.
Had he been killed in the challenge, I would have come to fight. Not to challenge, but to die as the last White Clay.
Black Moon looked around at the circle of people.
I heard you say the White Clay are dead.
White Ash!
Windrunner grabbed Sage Ghost by the shoulders. His heart hammered, and a curious weakness grew in his knees.
I don't know. She got away when the wolf people raided the camp. I know they didn't take her, but they captured some of the others, the young women who could still bear children.
But where?
I don't know. I crossed the Sideways Mountains, went to Three Forks, and watched. I thought maybe, well, with the White Clay killed, she might have gone back to the Earth people. I never saw her there.
A swirling emptiness, as if he'd been gutted, swept through Windrunner. The world seemed to dim, and the color washed from the leaves and sky and buff mesas.
When?
The morning after you left for the Black Point.
Sage Ghost lifted his gaze to the wind-teased branches overhead.
I was up there that night, hidden in the rocks. I just wanted to be alone, to think about Bright Moon and to cry in private. I saw you climb the ridge, heard you talk with White Ash. I watched you go and walked off afterwards to think. I walked until dawn and started back to camp. I heard the screams. By then it was too late for me to do anything. Instead, I hid in the rocks and watched the wolf people burn the last of the lodges. I checked the dead after they left and couldn't find her. Then I circled and followed the wolf people. White Ash wasn't among the captives they'd taken. I went back and spied upon the camp before sneaking down to look one more time for White Ash's body. Brave Man was there, walking among the bodies.
He's got her.
No, but he, too, was looking for her. After Brave Man left, it started to snow. I went into the camp and looked at the bodies. She wasn't there. I took up Brave Man's tracks to be sure he hadn't carried her away and followed him for a day. He was headed for the Broken Stones, as he said he would. That's when I turned south and scouted the Earth people.
Then where is she?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Windrunner struggled to control his building sense of despair. Sage Ghost shifted his gaze to Black Moon.
What will you do with me?
Black Moon studied Sage Ghost thoughtfully, noting his tattered clothing, reading the lines in his face.
You said your clan was dead?
Everything I ever was or loved is dead.
Sage Ghost pointed to Windrunner.
Except this young man.
Hot Fat appeared next to Black Moon.
Then you wish to become Black Point?
Sage Ghost shook his head slowly.
No, Soul Flyer. I am the last of the White Clay. I will die the last of the White Clay.
No! They'll kill you, Uncle!
Sage Ghost laid calloused hands on Windrunner's shoulders. A wry smile curled his lips.
Then they kill me, nephew. I just came to see you one last time. I had to know what happened to you. You're all I have left.
I claim him. This man is my uncle. He can share my lodge. I will care for him.
One man came to stand behind Black Moon, glancing warily back and forth. Black Moon paced, working his fingers. He turned to Hot Fat and spread his arms wide.
What do we do? What's happened to us? I can't order one man to kill him. After all we've heard here today.
Hot Fat stepped up to Sage Ghost, keen eyes staring into the White Clay's face.
How many summers have passed since I saw you last?
Five. Old one. At the gathering north of the Bug River, the one where seven bulls married Wild Plum.
That long.
One man edged next to Windrunner.
I will offer some of my meat to feed Sage Ghost.
Windrunner's dazed wits refused to serve him. Fragmented images of White Ash battled with concern for Sage Ghost and grief over the death of the White Clay. And so many beloved friends. Black Moon threw his hands up and let them fall. He turned to the people.
You have heard Sage Ghost. You have heard one man's words, what Makes Room said and what Windrunner said. Myself, I cannot speak for the clan. But me? I can't order this man away. I can't add to what's already befallen him. My advice is to let him stay. Let him stay with us as the last of the White Clay.
One man raised his hands for attention.
You all know me. You know the courage of one man. I have fought for the Black Point. I have given my soul for my clan. You know that one man is proud and strong. Yet I have seen and heard things which frighten me, for I do not understand what is happening among the Sun people. Perhaps a new way is coming to us. Perhaps we should all look to the White Clay and think about the things that have befallen them. Perhaps we should take our time and learn all we can as we try and see the way Thunderbird and Bear would lead us.
Then the Black Point war leader indicated Sage Ghost with a nod of his head.
I say Sage Ghost should be welcomed among us.
One man ran a steely gaze around the circle.
He came here alone, knowing he would have to fight the entire Black Point clan. A man who has done this has proven his courage and worth to one man.
Fire Rabbit leaped to his feet, a clenched fist held high.
What is happening here? To us? To everything? Think about what we've heard here today. Has power turned against us? Everything has come apart like an old coat sewn with rotten sinew. I don't care if this old White Clay comes to live with us. I have only one question. What are we going to do about the Hollow Flute?
Black Moon raised his hands.
Silence!
Then he turned to Sage Ghost.
You said you'd been south of the Sideways Mountains.
I have been there. Twice. Once years ago because power led me there. This time I went to find my daughter.
Black Moon nodded and glanced around at the worried people.
What about these Earth people? Do they have as much as the traders say? Can we live in their land?
They don't live the way we do, but yes, they have as much as the traders say. Rarely do they starve in the winter, as happens among our camps. We could take the land and live there, but it would mean learning their ways.
One man squinted appraisingly.
You say we could take their land. Are they fierce fighters? How many of us would have to die to do this?
No man lives forever, one man. Some of the Black Point will die no matter who you war with. Myself, I'd rather face the Earth people than the Hollow Flute. There are more Earth people. Their camps are everywhere because the land is so rich. But I know the Hollow Flute. You have to kill them 3 times to keep them dead.
Let us take some time and think. Meanwhile, talk about it. Tomorrow will be time enough to decide what to do.
Windrunner had barely heard. White Ash filled his memory, and her eyes stared back at him from his very soul. A gentle hand settled on his shoulder. Windrunner looked down into Hot Fat's sharp eyes.
Come, Aspen will fix a meal. You and Sage Ghost come eat with me.
My hunger is gone, old one.
Sage Ghost turned sad eyes toward his nephew.
Come on. If she's anywhere, it's south of the Sideways Mountains. If she's alive, we'll find her.
I've lost her forever. I can feel it. The White Clay are dead, killed by the wolf people. Why didn't I go with her when I had a chance? Why?
Windrunner looked up, his eyes losing focus as he stared into the depths of the sky.
I've been tricked. Cheated of the only happiness I ever would have known.
Bad Belly turned the prize over in his hand as he sat next to the small fire.
I don't understand. It's rock, and it's wood. See the grain, the knots? How could it grow?
White Ash studied the curious object he'd found earlier in the day. A section of stone a little longer than Bad Belly's forearm. The long, thin specimen was clearly solid rock, despite the fact that it looked exactly like weathered wood.
Maybe it's from some kind of tree we've never seen.
White Ash stroked the strange stone, running her fingers over the obvious wood grain.
Left Hand told you that the teeth you're making the necklace out of came from a fish. And didn't he say there were stone bones down around Sandwash?
The pensive expression on Bad Belly's face deepened, and he nodded. He reached into the pouch and pulled out one of the 10 black teeth and rubbed it. They had camped in a hollow between worn granite boulders. Below them, a small stream ran clear and cold in the drainage. The air smelled of grass, damp earth, and conifer trees. The meadow that stretched the length of the valley grew lush. Clouds had rolled in from the west, darkening the night.
It's wood. How could it turn into rock?
Ugh, maybe it's power. Maybe power can turn wood into rock like that.
Bad Belly scratched his ear, while visions of burning snow haunted him. He wiped the stone wood's sooty end where he'd tried to set it on fire. Nothing had happened, not even when he'd placed it in the middle of the glowing coals.
Wood that's rock, and it doesn't burn? Doesn't even smoke in the flames? I wonder, do you suppose that's what the sun burns? Wood made out of stone? Maybe power can set the sun on fire. Maybe that's why you never smell smoke when the sun is up. It burns this kind of wood.
White Ash lifted a skeptical eyebrow and stared at him.
Don't be silly. If the sun burned stone wood like that, it would be so heavy it would fall out of the sky. Feel that. It's solid rock. And besides, the sun couldn't burn wood anyway.
How do you know?
Pick up one of the pieces of firewood. Don't just look at me like some sort of fool. Go on, do it.
Bad Belly set his rock wood down and picked up one of the branches she'd broken off of a dead juniper.
Threw it up in the air.
He shrugged and threw it. Trouble leaped to his feet and launched himself in pursuit.
So, I threw it up in the air.
And it came down again.
White Ash smiled sweetly and tapped her fingers on her chin. Firelight played on her smug face.
So if the sun burned wood, it would fall out of the sky, too.
Trouble appeared out of the night to drop the irritating branch at his feet.
I always said the sun didn't burn wood. Otherwise, you'd see the smoke around it, even if you couldn't smell it.
White Ash picked up the stone wood and hefted it.
There's lots of this in the buttes just south of the dangerous river. I used to wonder about it when I was younger. People just looked at it and let it lay. I never wondered about it. Because no one else did, neither did I.
Are there stone trees in the north?
None that I ever saw. And someone would have said if they'd found one growing. I wonder if the leaves are stone too.
The leaves would have to be green. Or would they? Leaves change color when they fall off trees. But what happens to the stone leaves? Where do they go? We should see little flakes of stone leaf on the ground.
Shale?
I don't think so. Shale's thin and flat, but it's black or gray. And it doesn't look like leaves. You can't see any of those little veins in it. And the shape's wrong.
White Ash placed a hand on his arm and gave him a sober stare.
The world will never be the same for me, Bad Belly. You've made it come alive again. Maybe singing stones in the dream are right. Maybe I did die in the river.
She tightened her grip on his arm.
From the time you saved my life, everything got better.
He smiled and laid a hand on hers.
I'm glad. I never made anyone happy before. I just hope it stays that way. We're in the wolf people's land now.
White Ash glanced out at the night.
All we found are old camps.
It's greening up. The weather's warm and the snow is melting out from the north slopes. And maybe they're digging roots. Shooting star is coming up. Biscuit root is growing and the tops are good to eat before they flower. People like a change from eating stored things.
I suppose. At least the dreams haven't been bothering us.
Bad Belly stared up at the dark sky.
I don't know if that's good or bad. I kind of... Well, I thought that the dreams would tell us where to go. There's a lot of country up here. Where do we go to find the wolf bundle?
Her grip tightened in his.
Maybe the dreams don't come as long as we're going the right way?
Let's hope so.
Bad Belly loosened his fingers and placed the stone wood in his pack.
Maybe tomorrow we'll find what we're looking for.